You're listening to Splainin' on Radioactive International.
We've made it to another Friday, and that means another installation of Splainin'. And you know, when I first conceived of this radio show, the reason why I called it Splainin' is I wanted to do some talking. I wanted to talk about stuff. Then the music took over, and I don't know, I just sort of, whatever. Anyways, this week, we've got some splaining. We actually have some things we're talking about. We're talking about failure. And I roped in my friend Emily, and we have had a conversation. And that conversation I'm about to play for you right now. It won't take up the whole show, and then we will have some music. So, have a listen. Failure. Me thinking about this idea of, you know, talking about failure is trying to think of, like, what is it that makes us think of something as a failure?
Well, it's subjective.
It is. And that's the thing, like, but why don't we tell ourselves? This is bullshit. I feel like a failure, but actually it's based on a premise of bullshit.
I mean, I think we do to a degree. We just can't remember that. Like, I mean, I think we do it to get through the day. You know, we do it and our friends do it for us and stuff like that. But, like, I think, you know, it's just that sort of bigger overarching societal norm or whatever.
The thing I want to talk about is, someone in my family is somebody who coaches people and is sort of like a success guru. And I always have been, like, really pushed against this idea of, like, being more successful or pushing yourself harder or, you know, trying to be the best that you can be and all this stuff. And I feel like, oh, the thing is to just actually be satisfied with what you have. But at the same time, that's not really how I live my life. You know, like, I'm trying to do better things and be, you know, like, achieve more and do stuff. But, like, this idea of, like, how you define success and failure, to me, actually seems completely arbitrary. And I was thinking of it the other day, and just in terms of, like, love. Okay, like, one thing I have said many times, like, when you decide you love someone, it is an arbitrary decision. It's like you just decide you love them, and they could be like the shittiest person ever, and you love them, and that's just because you made that decision. And I feel like our idea of ourselves, of like whether we're failed or we're successful, is literally random. It is like a decision that you've made. Or maybe not random, but like it's based on these rules, like a rubric that you just invent.
But surely they're informed by a larger societal norm, right? Like, in a capitalist society, it's based on money, it's based on power, it's based on these things. So I feel like a lot of people, what success looks like is pretty standard. Like, good job, house, car, marriage, kids, whatever. Right? And so there are some, like, markers by which we measure that as kind of a society. But then if you fall outside of that, then maybe you have to create your other norms, and that, I think, could possibly be random. It's just like insecurities, like, what are you insecure about? That's based on life experience, based on, you know, those other things.
Yeah, and I think for me, moving to Ireland, it had forced me to completely redefine my idea of success, because I thought, you know, it would be like a month and I'd get a job.
Yeah, well.
And then like 7 years went by, and I, like, at some stage, pretty quickly, I had to redefine what I thought of as not just like success professionally, but like my value as a human being and what the success of my life was.
But I think that's also because you're an American. Because I think that as Americans, we are largely defined by our work. Like, yeah. First time you meet someone, it's like, what do you do? Mm-hmm. You know, not like, what are you into? It's like, what do you do? And that's your identity. So I think that for people who aren't American, it's partly to do with the work, but it's also, you know, they might find some other things that define success for them, or failure, or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, once you sort of hit that failure wall, because that's what you've defined for yourself your whole life as being successful, as having a job and whatever, then yeah, you have to figure out some new measurements for success pretty quickly, or you'll just lose your mind.
I feel like it does really change. Also, like, you one day you're like, I am doing pretty good. You know?
I got out of bed today, yeah. And that is an accomplishment.
And then, you know, you go talk to somebody and they've got so much stuff going on. And you're like, oh, I was really happy about, like, when I went for a run today. But then I've just talked to somebody who, like, got up, worked a full day, did this and that. Like, you know, like, just was, is like a powerhouse, and you're, you know, like, just finished their novel, or, you know, and you're like,
yeah,
okay, I was on Facebook for like an hour and a half when I was meant to, like, be working on my novel. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, no, I mean, of course you're going to sort of compare yourself and measure yourself against other people, but I'm sure they're doing the same fucking thing, you know? Like, I'm sure they're like, oh, I've only finished one novel and it was shit and I'm a terrible person. And, like, look at this other person who's finished three books and they're very critically acclaimed. Or, you know, like, I think it's just inherent in us to hate ourselves to a degree. And so, it does, like, you're always going to have some kind of feeling of failure, even if you're, by sort of outside standards, even if other people look up to you as a success, you know?
Well, I think that's what's really frustrating, is because you're like, okay, no matter what I do, I'm still going to think of myself as a failure in some way or another.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the shittiest. Because, you know, like, I look at somebody else and I'm like, oh, God, you know, this is wrong and that is wrong. I'm like, are you kidding? I'd be so thrilled to be in your position, you know, whatever it is. Like, it could be professional, or it could be social, or it could be age, or it could be class, or whatever. Or just having the autonomy to live wherever you want to live, or what have you. But, like, I just feel like you cannot escape this feeling that you're a failure.
Yeah.
There's, like, I don't know many people who are just like, I missed success.
I mean, I'm sure there's some people. There's got to be some people who are like, I mean, like, look at Wall Street. Although, maybe not. I don't know. It seems like there's some people who are feeling pretty smug about themselves, you know? But, like, at the same time, like, I know you're saying all this stuff, but I think, like, you just got a good job. You live in a nice house. Like, I feel like I look at you as being successful, and I'm jealous of that, or envious, I guess. But, you know, whatever, you're never going to be able to appreciate your successes as well as people on the outside will appreciate them.
Yes. And so the question is really, like, do we talk about when we feel like we failed, or do we put up, like, the front? Because I know when I talk, especially to my Irish friends, when I'm just like, ugh, you know, if I'm down about whatever it is, they're just like, what are you talking about? You know, and I feel like it's not, there isn't that sort of drive. Like, a lot of my Irish friends are very driven, but it's like not in the same cultural way as
no.
America. And
but that's, yeah, that's because their marker for measuring success is different. Like, there's not shame, or at least not as much shame, being on the dole in Ireland. Like, in America, there's total shame, and you can't even really get on the dole, you know?
Yes.
Unless you have some, like, really dire circumstances. So, culturally, there is a kind of a more relaxed attitude here about what success is in terms of money, but not necessarily in terms of art and those other things, you know.
Mm.
Because, like, there's still hipsters with all the, you know, success or, you know, the sort of monetary things that we aspire to who are still, like, just trying to be cool, and they don't feel successful because they're just not cool, you know? So
yeah.
I'm sure there's other pressures. It's just, yeah, I think they're probably specific to a cultural context.
That's another thing, actually, because, like, you know, you and I both have had forays into, like, fashion design and, like, the fashion, whatever you want to call it, in Dublin.
Let's call it a scene.
But the thing about it is, it seems like a lot of it is smoke and mirrors. Like, I've talked to so many people, and they've got the social media thing going, and they make it look like they're so successful, and then you talk to them, and they're like, I live with my parents, I'm actually losing money, this is practically a hobby, I wish I could just get a job, I'm done with this, you know?
Yeah.
And that's when you realize, you know, like, you're looking at their stuff, and you're like, oh, wow, they're doing so well. And then you realize, no, they're not.
Till you make it. And my friend Paula always tells me that, and I think she's right. And it does help to a degree, but, like, some people are much better at faking it than others. Because, honestly, those overly confident people, I'm never like, oh, wow, they're doing great, good for them. I'm like, please. You know, like, but also I find the people, again, who are the most successful, like, monetarily successful in the industry, it's because they're really good at branding. Their products might be terrible, but they're really good at branding. And what is branding but smoke and mirrors, really?
Yeah.
Branding is a story that you tell about how successful you are and how great you are. So maybe that's the key. Maybe it's just faking it till you make it.
Yeah. It's definitely not about being original.
No. Oh, please. It's not about art or beauty or truth or meaning. No. It's about branding.
In fact, I'd say if you are an original designer, you have a harder time.
Yeah. But come here, I think that also gets back to that point about what is success, right? And how we measure success. So we're totally Americans and feeling down in the dumps about ourselves or whatever, because we're measuring success on monetary success. I would say the people that I'm specifically thinking about who are quote unquote successful because they're good brand, like they have a good brand and their products are, as you say, unoriginal. I'm like, that's not success. You know, and deep in my heart, I'm like, but also I'm really terrible with money or caring about money. But like, I feel like I would much rather get props all day for my work than have a ton of money and people say things like, it's unoriginal.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, obviously I'd like to have both. I'd like to have money and props.
It's funny because when I was in my 20s, like my early 20s, I was like, okay, for my life to be successful, I need to have graduated college by this stage and gone to grad school by this stage, gotten this job worth this much money by this stage, and then had my kids all done, popped out by the time I'm 30, and, you know, get married at some stage before that. And, you know, I was on that path, and then at somewhere around 28, I realized, like, oh shit, no, I don't think I want this. And I feel like my life has just been like a series of redefining what I consider failure, because if I, or at least deciding that failure is necessary. They were necessary failures.
Mm.
And that's the thing I think we don't put enough value on. And I know it sounds like a real corporate kind of bullshitty, like, oh, you're, you know, it's like something probably Steve Jobs said or something, you know? It's like, if you don't find a way to figure out how that failure is going to work for you, then how do you live with your, how do you move on from it, you know? And so, you know, I've been divorced. That was a huge failure. Not getting a job for 7 years was also a huge failure.
But you got the job, like...
Yeah, like 7.5 years later.
I know. but here I am, like, 3 years into being unemployed, and I'm like... Or actually, probably more than that. And I'm like, a job? That sounds amazing. Even though it took you 7 years, like, that's still a success.
But at the same time, like, I went, you know, back to America and hung out with a friend of mine who's just a couple years younger than me. She's just got a new job, you know, making, like, 3 times as much as I'm making. You know, she's got this gorgeous house, and she's got this and that. And then I had just gotten the job offer right before I visited America, and I was, like, super, super psyched. And then when I got back from America, I was like, yeah, I suppose this job is okay. Like, it's cool, you know. It's like everything gets so easily colored that this decision you make that, okay, this is like the thing, this is a thing that I consider to be a success, it can so easily change based on any number of influences.
Yeah, sure.
Whether it's comparing yourself to somebody else, or you just decide, actually, there's another thing I want, or, yeah, okay, maybe I have this thing, but I don't have the other thing I want. And, you know, without the two or the three or whatever, you know, as a combo deal, it's not success, or I'm still a failure if I haven't achieved all these things that I want. There is definitely, like, the component of capitalism is really interesting to me because I never thought about these things until I lived here. Mm-hmm. And, like, I had an interest in anarchism and critical theory and stuff like that before I moved here, but it was just, you know, just something kind of like a holdover from university. It didn't have practical applications for my life until I moved here, and I was unemployed for, like, a long-term unemployed. So all of a sudden I had to think about class a lot more because I didn't know what my class was anymore. I grew up middle class, and even though I was always fucking shit broke when I graduated from college, I was middle class broke. Then living here, it's like being on social welfare. It's a different kind of broke.
Oh yeah. Maybe because I grew up differently. I had so little time for people who were, like, all about making the money, whatever. I was like, fucking capitalist bullshit. You know, art, that's what's important, or, you know, whatever, politics. But now I'm like, yeah, but, like, I mean, it'll be real cool if I could take a holiday and stay in a hotel. The older I get, I'm like, no, actually, like, this could be normalized.
That's the thing that I had to really revise, is this idea of how well have I used my time? If I feel good about how I use my time, then it does literally not matter whether I got paid or whether I made any money or whether I have money.
Yeah, it's a hard one, though. It's really hard to be like, you know, I did this amount of work that I'm proud of and I didn't get paid. So, if I'd gotten paid for that amount of work that I was proud of, A, would I have been so proud of it? And B, like, would I feel better about having done the work? Or, you know, like, yeah, how do you measure the time spent? And the way that we measure productivity or whatever is by how much we're paid.
Yeah. Like, I have family members who make, you know, like, 6 figures, and that, you know, they spend all that money, and they don't have any left over or whatever, but I just feel like I don't think of myself as any less successful than them.
know. I mean, I guess it also depends on... It depends on a larger value system. If what you value is work versus what you value is a paid job. You know, if you value work and, like, you did this much work today and you got a lot accomplished and you feel like what you did was important and meaningful and whatever, then that's a success. But some people, I think, would value the money part, because I think a lot of people do their work so that they can have money so that they could do what they like, mm-hmm. instead of getting paid for the thing that they like, you know.
But also being an activist, it's weird, because it's one thing to, like, have a job to get paid to do your hobby.
Yeah.
But when your hobby is essentially activism...
Is,
Or one of your main...
Breaking down the state, yeah.
Yeah, like, it is very strange, because then you're like, okay, how am I supposed to be, you know, is it a failure if I don't actually accomplish the goal that my campaign is trying to reach?
Yeah, no, I don't ever feel like that. Yeah, maybe that's the thing, is that maybe the meaning that it gives to your life mm. outweighs those sort of, that societal norm of, like, you must get paid, and you must have a house, and you must have all these things, you know? Because yeah. your paid work is never going to give you that kind of meaning that activism does. So, you know, if your goal in a job is to do well enough to get a promotion or whatever, that's how you're measuring success. Whereas, like, if your campaign doesn't reach its ultimate goal, but you're working steadily every day, the meaning that sort of, the purpose, the sense of purpose that gives you, mm-hmm. that you're working towards something, I think is probably equal to, if not more important in measuring success, maybe. Or maybe that's what we yeah. think, because that's how we spend our time.
Yeah. But it is kind of like built on happiness. Like, even though it's really frustrating, and even though the things that are spurring us on are really horrible things that are happening, at the same time, you feel like I'm actually doing something.
Yeah, even when you're doing something to create something that is kind of not going to, you know, exist, like putting on an event or something, like, you know, it's a mm-hmm. thing that happens, and then that one event probably isn't going to smash patriarchy or whatever, but it's still important, you know? And, like, you can immediately see the importance of it. And, you know, patriarchy doesn't get smashed in a day, like...
No, unfortunately, it doesn't.
So, you know, it's also somehow you're kind of removed from it to a degree. I mean, obviously it affects you, you know, it's important, but the goals don't seem as immediate. So if your goal is to, you know, end capitalism or whatever, you kind of have this, like, long-term vision. And so if you don't do it tomorrow, it's kind of like, well, everything I do, I know, is leading up to this thing. Whereas it's harder to see that everything you do is leading up to something that's a lot shorter term, mm. you know? And so it's easier to feel unproductive in those situations.
Aside from financial failures, like, what about emotional and relationship, like, the way we gauge whether our lives are successful? There is such a value on being in a relationship.
Mm.
And when I talk to people who are not in relationships and they consider it a failure, I feel bad that they feel that way, because I personally think of, like, being surviving as a single person is such a success. Like, I don't think of it as a failure to be in a relationship. I think of it as a success to be okay with yourself and be alone.
But I think that is also the grass is always greener, because you are in a relationship, right?
The thing is, I've always been in a relationship since I was 21, so for mm-hmm. over 20 years, never without an overlap.
Whoa.
Yeah, and, like, to me, that's a failure.
Yeah, I know, but see, I think a lot of people would see that as a success. Like, I think, like, honestly, because it's like... No, I think a lot of people would. I think a lot of single people would think of it as a success. We've been saying everyone has a different gauge for that, you know? And, like, single people, a lot of times, like, I get shit off of people for, like, single people, like, when if I complain about my relationship, they'll be like, at least you have one, kind of thing. Not thinking, whereas I'm thinking like I'm a failure because I'm having the like a hard time in my relationship or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's just, maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's on the outside we're unable to gauge who's successful and who's not because we don't have all the information. Mm-hmm. Whereas like I think if you have all the information because it's yourself and whatever, then it's all subjective. No one's going to be objective, right? Mm. Because on one hand you have all the information, but then on the other hand we have this like inherent self-loathing and need to tear ourselves down.
What people don't realize is even when you're in a relationship, you still have the same, well, you often still have the same longings and the same like dissatisfactions and the same, those things that people associate with being single.
Yeah.
They still exist when you're in a relationship.
I know, that's the thing. That's
and really only hard. It's worse because you don't have the autonomy.
Exactly.
It's not worse, but you like it, you don't have the autonomy to go after the things you feel like you're missing or that you want.
Yeah.
If you're in a monogamous relationship, that is.
Well, not even, I mean, it doesn't have to be sex. Like, it doesn't, but no. Like, you don't have the, like, you couldn't just, like, decide, I'm just gonna move to Spain tomorrow, because whatever. You would have to have a conversation with your partner about that, you know? Mm-hmm. So.
You have to negotiate everything.
Exactly. And so, yeah, it is, like, grass is always greener. And I think there is this loneliness that people don't talk about, the loneliness of being in a relationship, a long-term relationship, where people from the outside might see it as, oh, what a success. You've been together for that many years? That's amazing. But, like, actually it can be, at times, incredibly lonely.
Yeah, because life is lonely. Like, that's the thing, is you can't escape it, whether you're single or attached or whatever. Like, you're going to be lonely.
Mm.
Always.
Wow.
We did exercise some things, and I hope you enjoyed the new format. I'm going to play some music now for the rest of the show, and I'm going to start off with The Magnetic Fields. This is one of my favorite songs that they've done, and it's coincidentally about failure. It's called You Love to Fail.
We don't know why you've been gone. Things in life that one can't quite express. You know me, I'm acting dumb, dumb. You know the seed is very humdrum. And my favorite song's entitled
Juice. The song was Rip It Up. Rip It Up and Start Again is, well, I think, you know, maybe part of the conversation about success and failure. Before that, Joy Division, Failures was the name of that song. A band called Mumbler did Microwave, and Magnetic Fields started the musical selections with You Love to Fail. I have to say, I don't know if it's a failure or if it's a victory, but actually today I lost a Facebook friend. I'm sure I've lost other Facebook friends, but this was actually the result of a Facebook debate, which I don't usually engage in, but I did today. Today I did not shy away from challenging someone on Facebook, and also other people joining me, challenging that person. It did result in that person probably never speaking to me again. However, I have no regrets. And I just want to say that this week there was a demonstration for the Black Lives Matter movement in Dublin. Actually, there were a few throughout Ireland, and I'm quite proud of that they happened, and I was really pleased that I could go and take part. And I'm not sorry if I lose friends over my support of that movement. So, in that spirit, I'm just going to play a few more tunes. You've been listening to Splainin' on radioactiveinternational.org, and we'll see you next week after these next couple of songs.
Let's start what we have come into the room to do. Right on. Here goes. One, two, three. Take a bet, oh yeah, oh, take a bet, oh yeah, oh.
That mesmerized men, the type of skin that had me babbling like a child again. I'd have them digits memorized before I find a pen, but just approaching her is like walking in a lion's den. Violins play the death march as sweat starts accumulating. I try to move, but the room is shaking. I'm like a baby calf fresh out the womb and breaking bones. I'm making tones of aching moans. Jones on the love that I ain't got the balls for. This is a tall order. This calls for the K-Supreme, the moist voice that makes some cream. They keep rewinding like some naked scenes. They can scream as loud as they want. Ain't no one can hear them. I gotta hear them all souped on the truth serum. I got the proof here in this little black book. I make a hormone, a Similac look. Black angel, what can I do to get a dose? Black angel, K-Supreme is fiending the most. Black angel, you play high post. But what can I do to get close to an angel like you? Black angel, what can I do to get a dose? Black angel, K-Supreme is fiending the most. Black angel, you
play high post, but what can I do to get close to an angel like you? So I practice on the mattress with the girl made of plastic and act like she's my favorite actress. I bought her online, so far we get along fine. Now I'm the all-time fastest Mac to hogtie the ladies like an outlaw. I'm wanted in all states for knocking them out with the Southpaw grammar, but this honey makes me feel immature, like I'm just not cool enough to stand with you. Plus you always got a man with you, jocking you. I got binoculars to watch you like a stalker does, until I got enough confidence to rap at you. I won't shower you with compliments to flatter you, with all the flowers while you're standing there acting rude. Lose the attitude, I'm throwing it back at you. I made up my mind, tonight I'm having you, cause you're the baddest bitch on the avenue.
Black Angel, what can I do to get a dose?
Black Angel,
K-Supreme is fiending the most.
Black Angel,
you play high post, but what can I do to get close to an angel like you?
Black Angel,
what can I do to get a dose?
Black Angel,
K-Supreme is fiending the most.
Black Angel,
you play high post, but what can I do to get close to an angel like you?
I stepped to her, threw a vibe like I'm on a mission, and met her eyes as I sized up the competition. No longer listen to the devil on my left shoulder, I soldiered up and told her what's up with the plan. Go home and dump your man later, forget him, let him go, dry hump some sandpaper.
Ouch.
I'm digging you out like a clam baker, and if you're bushy, I'm a pussy hair landscaper. I'm chopping down the forest, she's singing out the chorus. Yeah, yeah, you know the sound. I'm working back angles, now the Kano's in town. Every lady, grab your ankles like the plane's going down. And I'm waiting on land to take your hand, and later take photos while you shake your can like a hobo. Your lips have been sealed like a go-go, and now I'm here to open you up with the flow. So she ripped off my clothes like I ripped off Jabot's, with no intros, shut the windows. It's nympho's ready for the steady rocking. There won't be any talking, just once I drop the heavy cocking.
Black Angel,
what can I do to get a dose?
Black Angel,
K-Supreme is fiending the most.
Black Angel,
you play high post, but what can I do to get close to an angel like you?
Black Angel,
what can I do to get a dose?
Black Angel,
K-Supreme is fiending the most.
Black Angel,
you play high post, but what can I do to get close to an angel like you?
While you party down, y'all can shock the house. Hit down, rock, shock the house. The Ku Klux Klan is on the loose, training their kids in machine gun use. Okay, everything has its place and time. We can rock the house too as we shock your mind.
Word up, we can brag and we can boast. Tradition is the bread and butter for our breakfast toast.
Look at all the things that can prove the point. Sisters in the distance, brothers in the joint.
As you did it, the guys are so socialized. How we gonna make the black nation rise?
People call me Brother D, and I'm here to shed some light, to bring the truth right on down to earth from where it once was out of sight. But before I continue, just let me say, this is not my ego suit. I sat down and thought, and I wrote this verse in the interest of the group. Come on, my people.
Up, y'all, you know that ain't right.
Cause that hurts everybody, black or white.
When this cold can't get no heat, just move your body to the beat. While it takes you hard, it's just go ride. Get high until you're pacified. Now you acting like a living dead, and talking about the body, talking about the head.
Space out, y'all, to the disco rhyme. You're moving to the rhythm, but you're wasting time. Stop and think, do you know what's real? Well, let me educate you to the real deal. The media is telling lies, the devil taking off his disguise. They're killing us in the street while we pay more for food that's cheap. And all you want to do is so socialize.
How we gonna make that nationwide?
Remember the so-called Indian? Look what they did to him. Maybe they'll do that to us. They're the struggle, they're the win. I mean, damn, get out of your seat. Damn, get on your feet. We say damn, and I will repeat. We mean damn. around, we say, damn, it's time for throwing down. Damn, let's even the score, cause we're fired up, it won't take no more. We're fired up, it won't take no more. We're fired up, won't take no more. America's got concentration camps.
People like them come living
life, warning us about genocide. While you're partying on and on, the others may be hot by the break of dawn. Your party may end one day soon when they're rounding niggas up in the afternoon.
And start to wonder, are the people done? Well, Martin Luther King said we'll overcome. How are we gonna make the black nation rise? All you wanna do is dibby 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 die. No, no, brothers, it's not like that. You gotta rap for the people, tell them where is that?
Elijah showed us how to pool our wealth. Collectively, we must do for ourselves.
While you fight each other without a fair, but fight the system, you never dare. Well, if you ain't down, we'll get you first, cause you slow us down just like a curse.
By mind and spirit, we can't let die. For the message in our music for I and I. Service to our people, we must redeem. Like Coltrane's horn blowing love supreme.
We heard what Marcus Garvey said, and we can't stand still.
He said,
America was built, understand, by stolen labor on stolen land. Take a second thought as you clap and stamp. Can you rock the house from inside the camp? As you move into the beat to the early light, the country's moving to the right. Prepare now, all get high and wake, cause it ain't no party in the police state.
That's it on we who dare to be free. We gotta change the way we behave. We gotta sacrifice for our righteous cause or remain a passive slave.
We're not anti any other racial group, just understand we're pro-black.
But don't take too long, the time is getting late.
And DJ, if you got a mic, it's your job to educate.
Well, I know my voice is not rated S. We didn't talk about money or talk about sex. We didn't talk about clothes or cars and things. And you might be tired of my lecturing. So while you dance and while you sing, all we wanna do is ask just one thing. While you dibby dibby dies and so socialize, are you gonna help the black nation rise?
You dibby dibby dies and so socialize.
Gonna make the black nation rise. Gotta agitate, educate, and organize. How we gonna make the black nation rise?
Agitate, educate, organize.
How we gonna make the black nation rise?
Agitate, educate, organize.
Gonna organize, organize.
Agitate, educate, organize.
Gonna agitate and organize.
Agitate, educate, organize.
Gonna educate, organize.
Agitate, educate, organize.
Gonna organize and organize. Gonna do what?
Organize, agitate, educate, organize.
How we gonna make the black nation rise?
Agitate, educate, organize.
How we gonna make the black nation rise?
Agitate, educate, organize.
Gonna organize and organize.
Agitate, educate, organize.
Gonna do what?
Face flush, tape gloves laced up. The bigger they come, the deeper the grave dug. Laying in the cut is the killer of kings. A train gun, widow make a murder machine. Ache in the stomach, muscle face the coming struggle. Blunt force to crush you, make you lay amongst rubble. Recognize the weaponized, set it for your jaw. Your jab was telegraphed soon as you stepped in the door. You set it off with the simplest things. All hail, the king of the ring. All fail when the clock clips wings. And follow the forgotten instinct when the darkness sings. Drop the guard when God's fist swing. Arms too short to box and the box with sick dreams. Doing battle with the moving shadow. Pure punishment. Haymakers, a razor blazer. Cut your feet from under you. You punch drunk, you fucked up. You're naked in the agony. Paint your blood across the canvas and create a masterpiece. Have to be fast on your feet to last with the rapid release. And parry the jabs at beast with sociopaths trying to pass as athletes. This life is a fighter that devours the weak. Reach for the brass ring, all you catch is the beat. Down, down goes the challenger, crowd out their seats. They raise up a champion to smash him. They're so hungry for a piece of the action, action. It's fight night and the devil is ringside laughing. It's fight night and the devil is ringside.